Good morning. Today's daf in Rosh Hashanah's Lamed. We started yesterday the fourth parak of the Masechta and introduced ourselves to Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Third parak, we talked about the Shofar primarily. And now here in this fourth parak, fourth and final parak of the Masechta, so we're going to be talking about Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. There's a mitzvah, Minatara, to blow Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. Okay, that's not groundbreaking information, but that is certainly the premise of our entire parak. And the first topic of discussion has been, and will continue to be for the rest of today, the idea that the shofar is going to be blown in Rosh Hashanah, even if Rosh Hashanah coincides with Shabbos. So on Shabbos, blowing of a shofar is an issur d'rabbanan. The truth of the matter is that even in Rosh Hashanah, it's an issur d'rabbanan. But the Chachamim are not going to put in an issur when there's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So on a standard yontif, on a standard Rosh Hashanah, obviously, so the Chachamim will allow / promote everyone to blow shofar. But on Shabbos, there's a, not only the Issur D'Rabbanan of Hashmas Kol, of making a sound, producing a sound, but on top of that, on Shabbos, you also have a consideration, concern, that you may end up carrying in the Rishus HaRabim. This is the Gzera D'Rabba, and so therefore what the Chachamim did is the Chachamim banned the blowing of the shofar when Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah coincide with one another. So they're taking away Mitzvah Seseh, but as we pointed out yesterday, they have that power. Yesh Koch B'Yad Chachamim Lakor Davar Min HaTorah. They have that power, so they can tell us not to blow shofar when there are other considerations. And over here, the other consideration is in fact going to be Chil Shabbos. So this is the topic that we discussed yesterday, and then we discussed the first mission of the Masechta, and that is that there is an allowance to blow shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah when you're in front of Beis Din. So Bizman Beis Hamikdash. So what they would do is they would blow shofar b'mikdash. Okay, I didn't mention this yesterday, but it's known, it's well known. Basic machlokas between the Rishonim, what exactly is considered the area of the Mikdash. So Rashi writes very clearly over here, the area of the base of Mikdash is the area of the base of Mikdash. meaning, it's pretty straightforward, meaning it's not Yerushalayim. I mean, you have to be in the area of the base of Mikdash. Now for Rashi, does that mean that you have to be within the Har HaBayis? Does that mean you have to actually be in the actual Azara? That part I'm not clear about, but it certainly does not include Yerushalayim. And that's in contradistinction to the Rambam. The Rambam writes that the area of the Mikdash vis-a-vis this particular halacha is considered the entire area of the Yerushalayim, ostensibly the area that's circumscribed within the Old City. Or in other words, the walls of the Old City. Okay, so but if you're in the area of the Mikdash, you can blow shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. Now, why would that be? So I didn't say this yesterday, and I should have said this yesterday, but here we are, and it's not certainly not too late. So and Rashi says it. So once you're within the area of the Beis Hamikdash, so you're within the area of the Beis Din, meaning that's where the Beis Din was located, not just a Beis Din, but the Sanhedrin was located over there. And so the whole concern is that you may end up carrying it, but if you're in front of Beis Din, you're under the watchful eye of Beis Din. And in general, we say Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. And even though we do say that in general, and Rashi writes that in yesterday's daf, right? Rashi writes, on the Rashi, Gzera Shema Yilenu, Uve Mikdash Lo Gazer Dein Isser Shvus De Rabbana B'Mikdash. Rashi writes it. So because of Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, so as a result of that, so when you are under the watchful eye of the Sanhedrin in the base of Mikdash, so therefore you're not going to come to carry. So there is an allowance to blow shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, and notably when you're in the base of Mikdash. Good? That's what we discussed yesterday. What we also discussed yesterday is what happened post Chorban Beis Hamikdash. Post Chorban Beis Hamikdash, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made a number of takanas, and we're going to be discussing a lot of his takanas here in the fourth parak. But one of the takanas that he made is that as long as you are within a Sanhedrin, so you go ahead and you blow shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. Okay, now when he says a Sanhedrin, so what Sanhedrin is he referring to? So it happens to be that there are two versions of how Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said it, and in just a moment we're going to go over those two versions. Ad Khan, that brings us now to where we left off yesterday. So, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash Hitkim Rav Yochanan Zakkai. Okay, so we are now on Chav Tes Amud Beis. It is the first wide line, Tanur Rabbanan. We start with the Brisa this morning. Pam Achas, it was an occasion. Chav Rosh Hashanah Leos B'Shabbos. So fine, so Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah coincided. And Vayu Kol Edim Miskansin. Sorry, let me read that correctly. Vayu Kol Ha'arim Miskansin. And so everyone got together, and Amalem Rav Yochanan Zakkai Nitka. So Rav Yochanan Zakeh says to the Bnei Besera. So and it must be that his takana is brand new and really fresh, and now a little bit of confusion in terms of whether they should blow or they should not blow. Now, Rav Yochanan Zakeh, I don't fully understand the dynamics over here because he is a Nasi, and so really what he says goes, and meanwhile, there is a motion to discuss. Okay? Anyone been in any kind of committee, any kind of board membership, so it's one of the things we love doing. Let's discuss. So it's we right. So fine. So that's what they wanted to do. So Rav Yochanan Zakeh wasn't interested in discussing. It was interesting blowing the shofar. So good. So he said, "No, we're going to blow the shofar." So Amrulo. So they say to Rav Yochanan Zakeh, "So no, don't. Let's litigate a little bit. Let's discuss." So Amrulam Nitka V'Achakach Nadon. So Rav Yochanan Zakeh says, "Look, I got this great idea. Let's first blow shofar, and then after we blow shofar, so then we'll get into a discussion. I'm more than happy to discuss it afterwards." So La'achish Shetaku Amrulo Nadon. Okay, fine. So they blew shofar. So Shabbos Rosh Hashanah Tkufa Rav Yochanan Zakeh. They were presumably in Yavne. That part wasn't revealed to us, but presumably they were. And they blew shofar. And Amr Lahem Kvar Nishma. I'm sorry. And now he promised them that they were going to discuss afterwards. So Amr Lahem Rav Yochanan Zakeh after they blew shofar. So he says to them, Kvar Nishma Keren Biyavne. Ve'ein Meshivan La'achar Maisa. He said, "Look, we already blew shofar, and now what do you want to do? You're going to challenge what we did? So Ein Meshivan La'achar Maisa. After the action's done, so now it's too late." Now, yes, I understand that the cynics amongst us can look at Rav Yochanan Zakeh and says, "You knew that we weren't going to discuss it afterwards, and meanwhile, you promised that you were going to discuss it afterwards, and you didn't discuss it afterwards." Okay, and so what was he? What it sounds a little bit deceptive on his part. So that, to that, I'm not really sure how to respond. But regardless. The point is that I would imagine that Rav Yochanan Zakeh just rolled out his takana, and people were understandably uncomfortable. The Bnei Besera were clearly uncomfortable with the idea. It's Shabbos, it's Rosh Hashanah. The Gzera, it's funny, we yesterday we learned it's Gzera the Rabbah. Rabbah's an Amora. It must be that this Gzera is an old Gzera. Rabbah's not introducing the Gzera. Rabbah's just simply explaining the Gzera that must have been around for a very long time. Because clearly the Bnei Besera were not happy with this idea that we're going to be blowing shofar outside the area of the Beis HaMikdash. Like, we don't do that. Nobody does that. Okay, so the Gzera must have been a long-standing Gzera. Anyway, but Rav Yochanan Zakeh, so he, if you will, winner or loser, I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but he won the day. Okay. Amar Reb Elazar, lo hitkin Rav Yochanan Zakeh ela biyavne, belvad, amrulo, echad yavne bechad, kol makom sheish bo beizet. Okay, so as far as what exactly the nusach of the takana Rav Yochanan Zakeh is, so we had two different versions, and according to Rabbi Elazar, the Tana Rabbi Elazar, so the obviously he's a later Tana, so he says that Rav Yochanan Zakeh only was masakin in Yavne. So yes, it's true that he allowed a post Churban Beis Hamikdash Shabbos Rosh Hashanah Tkiyah to be done, but only in Yavne, and meaning where there's a Sanhedrin, and they say no. Anytime that you have an established Beis Din, so you can do so. And it's not just limited to Yavne. So this is the Amrulo, meaning they say to Rebbe Lazar. So the they is referring obviously to other Tanayim who clearly disagree. And they're of the position that it's not just limited to Yavne. So Amrulo Hainu Tanakama. Now, the Gemara is just bothered with the structure of the Mishnah, meaning this position, the Amrulo. You know who else subscribes to that viewpoint? The Tanakama of our Mishnah. You go back over the Mishnah, you read the Mishnah, the way that Rav Yochanan Zakeh is originally presented is that anywhere where there's a Beis Din. So when the Amrulo, the people who are arguing, the Tanaim who are arguing with Rabbi Lazar, are simply repeating that which the Tanakam already stated. So the Gemara is bothered by that, meaning the Amrulo do not seem to be adding anything. We already knew the Shita through the Tanakama. So the Gemara says, Ika Bainayo Beidina de Akrai. So the Gemara says there is a really, really subtle difference between the Tanakama and the Amrulo. According to the Tanakama, Rashi, the last Rashi on the Amud, according to the Tanakama, let's say you have a Beis Din, but it's not an established Beis Din. In other words, they don't convene every single day on a regular basis. It happens to be an ad hoc Beis Din. So according to the Tanakama, you blow. The Tana of Amrulo will tell you that under those circumstances, no. It has to be a Beis Din Kavua. It has to be a a fixed Beis Din. Okay, so good. So that's the difference between them. Fine. Amar lo echad yavne vechad kol makom sheyesh bo Beis Din. Okay, so we're now going to be, for the first amud of today's daf, up until the upcoming Mishnah, so we're going to be studying now the parameters of this allowance to go ahead and blow shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. So we now know that because of a takana of Rav Yochanan Zakkai, so as long as you're within Beis Din, so you can go ahead and blow. And what we're going to be discussing from here until the Mishnah is what does that mean within Beis Din? So a clarification, a qualification of what exactly does that mean that you're with Beis Din. So kol makom sheyesh Beis Din am Rav Huna. So the entire discussion starts with a comment of Rav Huna within Beis Din. Okay, so for purposes of clarification, he says that you have to be with Beis Din. Okay, good. So as much as that is an attempt to clarify, but what does that mean? You have to be, correct. V'im Beis Din. You have to be with Beis Din. So, my V'im Beis Din. So, the Gemara wants clarification. What did Rav Huna mean? So, the Gemara gives clarification. B'ifnei Beis Din. So, you have to be physically in the presence of Beis Din. So, la'fuki shalom b'ifnei Beis Din delo. Okay, so that means to say that your ability to blow shofar in Yavne, and again, depending on which version of Rav Yochanan Zakkai you're accepting, seemingly right now we're going with the version of, as it could be any Beis Din, okay, and again, we just went over whether it has to be a fixed Beis Din or an ad hoc Beis Din, but it could be any Beis Din, but you have to be physically in their presence. That is what Rav Huna is now adding to the discussion. So Mesiv Rava, so the Gemara now is going to be challenging this position. We start by quoting our Mishnah from yesterday. So the Mishnah yesterday compared and contrasted the allowance to blow shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah in the Beis HaMikdash versus the Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai Takana. So Yerushalayim had more allowance. That's what we learned yesterday. Now, if you look carefully, read the Mishnah carefully, it says, V'od zosaisa. In addition, you have the following. Now, in addition to what? Meaning, what precipitated that comment? So my V'od zos. Ilemikadiktani. So if you want to tell me that, well, just read the Mishnah. No, if I'm reading the Mishnah, zos mi ba'ilei. So then I would understand the Mishnah saying the word zos, meaning, and this is a difference. But that's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said the word va'od. Ella, so there must be something else encrypted in the Mishnah that is another difference between Yerushalayim and Yavne. So dibi Yerushalayim token yechidim, if Yavne ain't token yechidim. Ah. So what we have to read between the lines is that in Yerushalayim, so you could blow shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, even if you're not in a tzibur, even if you're just an individual. However, in Yavne, you can only blow shofar a b'tzibur, but not b'yachid. Over Yavne, in talking yechidim, the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Is that really true? So Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef says, we had the following minhag that I'm reporting, and that is ki misayim shlichut tzibur tkiya b'yavne. So when the Sheikh Tzibur finishes tkiyas in Yavne, okay, so tkiyas were done when? They were done during Musaf. Right, a topic we're going to be discussing over the balance of this week. Right, we're not going to be discussing it today so much, but later in this perek, right, as we finish the Masechta, we're going to be talking about it in great detail. So when they finished off Musaf, so what they would do? So lo shama inish kol unei, nobody can hear themselves mikal tkue diyichidai, because what everyone would do is everyone would blow shofar. So it's a funny minhag, and Sfarim do something akin to this. Ashkenazim don't. And that is that after Musaf, so what happens is everyone takes out their shofar, right? Everybody comes to shul. And I say shul, by the way, I really mean Yavne. But everybody would be coming with a shofar in hand, and then the Sheikh Tzibur finished, and then everyone would be blowing shofar. Okay. So that used to be the minhag. So, but...
If they're individuals that have a short, they could not be...
So in other words, so they were Yechidim. So they were individuals. So what we've just shown now is that in Yavne, even Yechidim go ahead and blow. So El Alav, so the Gemara says, okay, so we have to read something else into the Mishnah. Because the Minug, even though it's just a Minug, but clearly the Minug had some sort of endorsement, right? They did it. So it must be something else. So El Alav, Dib Yerushalayim token Be'im Bezman Beis Din, Be'ishalob Bezman Beis Din. So it must go like this. That in Yerushalayim, so you blew on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, whether it was Beis Din was convening or Beis Din was not convening. Now, the convention of Beis Din occurred the first 6 hours of the day, right? After 6 hours of the day is over, so Beis Din went home, right? They stopped work, right? I'm sure they did a lot. But in other words, in terms of Beis Din convening around midday, so they went home. So in Yerushalayim, you could blow shofar, whether it's the first half of the day or second half of the day. Uvi Yavne, bisman based in Ishlo, bisman based in Lo. But in Yavne, you would only blow shofar when bisman based in. When based in was convenient, which was the first half of the day. So ha bisman based in miyatokin, va'afil ishlo bifne based in. Okay, now, here's what the Gemara is asserting. That in Yavne, so you blow shofar. When you blow shofar, so that was critical. But in terms of where you blew shofar, i.e. only in front of Beis Din, which is what Rav Huna is trying to contend, maybe not. Maybe you don't have to be there. Okay, so that's what the Gemara is trying to assert. And the Gemara immediately just rejects. Lo. The Ilu B'Yerushalayim, so the Gemara says no. So here's now what we're going to say in terms of both Pshat in the Mishnah and in defense of Rav Huna. The Ilu B'Yerushalayim token Be'im Ifnei Beis Din Ben Shalom Ifnei Beis Din. So in Yerushalayim, you could blow shofar whether you are directly in the presence of Beis Din or whether you're not. Uvi Yavne, Bifnei Beis Din, and Shalom Bifnei Beis Din Lo. And as far as Yavne is concerned, so Bifnei Beis Din you could blow, but Shalom Bifnei Beis Din you cannot blow. And presumably also, you also have to limit yourself to Zman Beis Din as well. Okay, so comes out now is that we've defended Rav Huna. The allowance to blow in Yavne, meaning the Takana of Rav Yochanan Zakkai, is that you have to be within the presence of Beis Din. Okay, we're not given a svara. I could suggest, but it's just a suggestion on my part. So you could take it. You don't have to take it. That Bizman Beis HaMikdash, when you were in Yerushalayim, so you felt the presence of Beis Din, even if you weren't directly in front of them. Mashagain Kein in Yavne, which is obviously not a dedicated Makom Mikdash. So under those circumstances, so you literally have to be in front of Beis Din in order to blow shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Ika Damasin La de Rav Huna, aha. Okay, so what we're going to do now is we're going to have a second round of this conversation around the comment of Rav Huna, but the comment of Rav Huna is not going on our Mishnah, but rather it's going on the Braisa. Dichsif. So let's go now round two of Rav Huna. The pasuk says, "Biyama kipurim taviru shofar b'chol artzechem." So we know that on Yovel we blow shofar. So unfortunately we don't have Yovel nowadays, but bizman where there was Yovel, so we blew shofar. Not only did we blow shofar on Yovel, but even if let's say it fell out on Shabbos, you're still going to blow shofar. So malamit shekol yachiv yachid chayv letkola. Now, this is a chiyuv on everybody. Amar Rav Huna v'im Beis Din. So good. So it's a chiyuv on everyone to blow, and it's only im Beis Din. And once again, my v'im Beis Din. Bizman Beis Din. So over here, we're understanding that the qualification of Rav Huna im Beis Din is bizman Beis Din. At the time when Beis Din convenes again, Beis Din convenes the first half of the day. So la fikus shalob is man based in delo. Ah. So that means to say that if a shalob is man based in, so you can't blow shofar on Yovel. Yovel that coincides with Shabbos. So Mesa Rava, so Rava now challenges. So Tkias, now we're going to take out the words Rosh Hashanah, we're not taking it out, the Gra takes it out. So Tkias Yovel, Dochas a Shabbos, Bukvulam, Ishu Veso. So it's what it's going to do is it's going to override the Shabbos. So Ishu Veso. Now, what does that mean, Ishu Veso? My Ishu Veso, Ilay, my Ishu Vishto. What do you mean? Husband and wife are going to blow? Yisusam, Imechaiva. Women are not obligated to blow. Vahamitzvah says, Shazman Gram. It's a time bound mitzvah. Vichol mitzvah says, Shazman Gram. And Nashim Petura. So that's rule number one. When it comes to time bound mitzvahs, women are exempt. And so therefore, there is no obligation for women to blow shofar. Not in Rosh Hashanah, not in Yovel. Okay, it's a time bound mitzvah. So, Elalav Ish Biveso. So it must be that the correct prefix is Biveso. And that means that not only do you have the right slash obligation to blow shofar and yovel within your house, but in addition to that, you are going to be doing it even afilu shalob bezman beis din. The Gemara is making an assumption. The Braisa doesn't say that, but it's a fair assumption, meaning if you're blowing it within the comfort of your own home, so basically you can also blow at the comfort of whenever you'd like as well. So ve'afil shalob bezman beis din lo. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the correct pshat. The correct pshat is v'olam bezman beis din. Now, even though you're blowing in your house, you have to do it bezman beis din. Okay, meisav rav sheshes. Gemara challenges. Shavah yavah l'rosh hashanah l'tzkiya u'lebrachos. So a brisa that we've already quoted numerous times, and that is that the shofar on Yovel's on Yom Kippur Yovel is going to be identical to that of Rosh Hashanah, both in terms of the way we blow it, right? Tzkiya chur tzkiya three times over. And in addition to that also, when we're going to blow it, i.e. during Musaf. So, Ella, Shabbi Yovel, Token, Bein, Bebeisin, Shekishu, Bosa, Chodesh, Ubein, Bebeisin, Shlo, Kishu, Bosa, Chodesh. Now, when it comes to Yovel, so you're going to be blowing whether it's a basin that's Mekash HaChodesh or whether it's a basin that's not Mekash HaChodesh. V'chol yachiv yachiv chayv l'tkoa. And every individual is obligated to blow. Over Rosh Hashanah, now on Rosh Hashanah, now here we're describing where Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos coincide. And in the previous comment of the Braisa, we also were talking about where Yovel, meaning Yom Kippur and Shabbos coincide. Over Rosh Hashanah, lo yutokin ela bebeisin, shekishu bosa chodesh. So number one, the kind of basin that you need a basin that is Mekash HaChodesh, meaning you need a significant basin. And in addition to that, v'in kol yachav yachav chayv l'tkoa. And it is not for every individual to blow, meaning it is Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, so therefore it is only going to be allowed for the tzibur, not for individuals. So my ankle yachav yachav chayv l'tkoa. So what does that mean? So does that mean that we're really making a distinction between individuals of Yovel versus individuals of Rosh Hashanah? So once again, here we go with the minug. The minug was is that on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah in Yavne, everybody would be coming to shul with their own shofar. After Musaf was over, everybody would be blowing shofar. Lo shama inish kalune mikal tkiasa di yechida. El alav, so the Gemara says, so that, and they're yechidim. So that can't be the pshat. What is the pshat in the Braisa? El alav, di lo biyovel, token bein bezman beisden, shebein shlo bezman beisden. So when it comes to Yovel, so there's a mitzvah to blow shofar. There's a mitzvah for every individual to blow shofar. And you are not circumscribed by time. You could blow shofar in the morning, you could blow shofar in the afternoon. Over Rosh Hashanah, bizman beisden, inshlo bizman beisden lo. And then on Rosh Hashanah, you can only blow shofar bizman beisden, but not shlo bizman beisden. So ketani miya biyovel. Now remember, this is the second round of Rav Huna. And Rav Huna's comment was going on Yovel. And Rav Huna was saying that it has to be in beisden. And our interpretation of Rav Huna in beisden is that on Yovel, you can only do it bizman beisden. And now, the way we just set it up, it's not true. So the Gemara says, ketani miya biyovel, bein bizman beisden, bein shlo bizman beisden. Okay, and now, if our interpretation of the Braisa is correct, that doesn't support Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, lo, la'olam bizman beisden. Now, really, the truth of the matter is that you can only blow shofar on Yovel bizman beisden, like Rav Huna reports. V'hachi ketani. And now we'll go back to the Braisa, and we'll just simply reinterpret the Braisa. V'yovel bizman beisden token, bein bifnei beisden, bein shlo bifnei beisden. Ah, so here's the distinction. In Yovel, on Yovel, you're blowing shofar. And you're doing so as a yachid. And you're doing so bizman beisden. You have to do so while beisden convenes, meaning in the morning, not the afternoon. Aye, so what's the distinction? The distinction is where. So Yovel, you don't have to actually be in the presence of beisden. Now, Berosh Hashanah, token, bizman beisden, uvifne beisden, as opposed to Rosh Hashanah, where if you are in Yavne and you're blowing shofar now in Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, so you have to both be, is both the when and the where. When beisden's convening. Where? Only directly in the presence of beisden. That's the distinction between Yovel and Rosh Hashanah. Good. This is now our pshat. We've defended Rav Huna round number two, where he says that on Yovel it must be bizman beisden. Doesn't have to be bifne beisden. On Yovel it has to be bizman beisden. It marnami amar Rabbi Chaya bagam dam Rav Yossi ben Shaul amar Rebbe. The Gemara supports this by citing Rebbe. Ein token ela kolzman shebeisden yoshvin. Ah. So you have to blow shofar bizman at the time when beisden is actually in session. Okay, so by Reb Zera in Ara la'amar v'lo amdu mahu, Reb Zera wants to know. Let's say they finished, but they haven't gotten up yet. So where are we halachically? So mahu beisden yoshvin bi'inan v'ha'ika. So they are physically sitting. Odemos man beisden bi'inan v'leika. On the other hand, so they made a motion to adjourn. So take it, the Gemara leaves off this the question unresolved. Okay, so a pretty lengthy discussion in the Gemara regarding the parameters of when and where you can blow and when on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah when you are in Yavne. Okay, it goes without saying, but obviously we'll say it. Bizman has said we don't have a Beis Din. We're not going to be blowing Shabbos Rosh Hashanah nowhere, right? There were a couple of movements historically, where they want to blow shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. They put together a basin. They did so, and a couple of times historically, and we're not talking about pretty contemporary history, meaning at the turn of the last century, not the most recent century, but the turn of the last century in Eretz Yisrael. So there was a movement to do so. Okay, so it's happened historically a couple of times, but these are anomalies. Most of history, So we have not perpetuated this halacha of blowing shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Ve'od zos aisa Yerushalayim Yisrael al Yavne, roe prat li yosheves. Okay, so Yerushalayim, so you can blow shofar in Yerushalayim Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, and not only if you were in Yerushalayim, but even if you were in the environ of Yerushalayim. So what does that mean? So the Gemara now is going to give four different qualifications of what that means. Roe prat li yosheves. Prat li yosheves benacha. So number one, so you have to actually physically see Yerushalayim. So let's say you are proximate to Yerushalayim, but you're in a valley, and you physically cannot see Yerushalayim. Okay, you're not given the allowance. Number two, shomaz prat li yosheves brosh ahar. So you have to be in earshot. So that means to say that if you're brosh ahar, and you're not within earshot, so you can't do it. Krova prat li yosheves chutz tchum. You have to be proximate, meaning you have to be within tchum of Yerushalayim. And finally, yachol lavo. You have to be within walking distance of Yerushalayim. What does that mean? If let's say there is a physical impediment, like a river, a big river, that is preventing you from walking to Yerushalayim, even though you have all the other qualifications, but if you're physically inhibited from going to Yerushalayim, so you can't blow shofar. Okay, so a number of qualifications of what it means that even though you are living within proximity to Yerushalayim, you can blow. But even that gets qualified, as we've just done in the Gemara. Next Mishnah. We're on Lamed Amud Aleph. We are now continuing here, Berishona. So originally, says the Mishnah, Hayalulav Nita B'Mikdash Shiva B'Medina Yom Echad. Okay, so, Bizman Beis HaMikdash, there was a mitzvah of Dalaminim. There were two distinct mitzvahs. One mitzvah is for the rest of us, and that is that Dalaminim is taken on the first day of Sukkot, and that's it. And that's it. Why? Because that's what the Torah says. So you'll take on the first day, Parshas Amor, Priyat Sadar, Kapos Tamarim, etc., etc. So the Pasuk says that the mitzvah to take Dalaminim is on the first day. I, in the base of Mikdash, is a mitzvah to do it all 7 days of Sukkot. Usmachtem Lifnei Hashem Lokechem, that's the end of the Pasuk. And then when you're Lifnei Hashem Lokechem, so you're going to be Misameach, Shivas Yamin, for 7 days. Ah. Okay, fine, so there are two distinct mitzvahs. So Bizman Beis HaMikdash, so you and I would make our purchase of the Dalaminim, all but for 1 day, if we weren't in Yerushalayim. Now, I know that's funny, by the way, because there's also concurrently a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, and we need to be in Yerushalayim. Okay, so probably we're going to be in Yerushalayim for those 7 days, but okay, notwithstanding. B'Gvulin, there's a mitzvah of only Dalaminim for 1 day. In Yerushalayim, there was a mitzvah of Dalaminim for 7 days. Fine, that's during the Beis HaMikdash. Mishachar of Beis HaMikdash, from the time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hitkim Rav Yochim and Zakkai. And now we'll put this down in our Masechta as the second Takana. Now, I'm not saying number two chronologically. I don't know which one came first, but this is another Takana of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, post Chorban Beis HaMikdash, and that is, Sheyehelulav Nitel B'Medina Sheva Zech LeMikdash. So to remind ourselves of the Beis HaMikdash, so every Jew is going to be taking the Dalaminim all 7 days. First day is the Mitzvah Min HaTorah, and from days 2 through 7, so that is Zech LeMikdash, it reminds us of the Beis HaMikdash. So that is another Takana Rav Yochanan Zakkai. And here in the Mishnah, another Takana Rav Yochanan Zakkai, and that's Yom HaNef Kolo Aser. That the Yom HaNef is a description of the second day of Pesach. So after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, we are not going to be eating Chadash the entire day. Okay, and we're going to clarify that position in just a moment. And if you don't know what Chadash is, I'll clarify that what that is in just a moment as well. Okay, now immediately we're just going to run to the Gemara, Minalan. This idea that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai made takanas that were Zech LeMikdash. And in tomorrow's daf, we're going to note that that was the theme, meaning Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai unfortunately experienced the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara in Gittin, right, daf nun hey, nun vav, so goes and details, right, the amazing episode, the tragic and amazing episode of how Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai both survived the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and on top of that, he also created continuity for the Jewish people after Churban Beis HaMikdash. And so he was the Nasi after the Churban, and he made a number of takanas, and many of them, if not all of them, I'm not sure about every one of them, but for many of them, for most of them, so it was all about remembering the Beis HaMikdash. So this idea that you make a takana Zech LeMikdash, so the Gemara says, where did he get that idea from? I'm across, so he says it's a pasuk in Navi in Yirmiyahu. Ki ala ruchalach umemakosecher paech numasham. Kosh Baruch Hu says, I will heal you. Ki nivchel karulach tzion, hi doresh ein la. And no one's inquiring after tzion, meaning the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, right? This is what Yirmiyahu is lamenting, and no one's making inquiry. So, michlal debay drisha, which means basically that we have to seek after Yerushalayim. And if the Yerushalayim is b'chorbana, so we have to do things in order to seek the welfare of Yerushalayim. So that gave Rav Yochanan Zakkai the idea that there has to be numerous times where we remember the Beis HaMikdash, right? Unfortunately, this is just a commentary of mine, right? People are taking Dalaminim for 7 days, and you ask them, you know, why are you doing it for 7 days? So unfortunately, most people do not know that it's Zecher LeMikdash. Okay, good. But you come to the daf today, you learn the Gemara today. The truth of the matter is, the Gemara goes over this here. We went over the same idea back in Sukkah as well. So no, from the first day onward, after the first day, right, in Gullus you can say after the second day, but it's Zecher LeMikdash. It's reminding us of once upon a time what used to be done in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Sheyoma Nefko La'asar. Fine. Now we're on to Chadash. So just as a brief introduction, so Chadash Asar Min HaTorah, you're not allowed to eat the new grains. New grains. So what happens is that over the winter, you grew the grains, you had the winter harvest, and now that those grains are grown, so you're going to eat the grains, you're going to harvest, you're going to eat them. So the Torah says, no, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to eat any of the grains that grew over the course of the year, harvested over the course of the year, even just took root over the course of this year. You're not allowed to eat it until you bring the Karban Omer. On the second day of Pesach, so the Torah details, a special Karban is brought on the second day of Pesach, and that's a Karban Omer. Only with the Kravas Karban Omer, then and only then are you allowed to eat the new grains that grew over the past year. Okay, this is an Isser Min HaTorah. Not only is it an Isser Min HaTorah, but it applies universally, both in Eretz Yisrael, outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, one of the mysteries of Halacha, and that is that we, the Jewish people, unfortunately have been lax in this idea of ensuring that we don't eat new grains. Meaning we go to the store and we are not judicious, we're not careful about the grains. There are extraordinarily religious Jews who, pious Jews who are careful, but they don't represent the majority. The majority are not concerned. But this is not an American phenomenon. This goes back to Europe. Back in Europe also, we were not careful about this issue. Okay, and a lot of discussion in terms of why we weren't careful about it, and for the purposes of the daf, this is not the time to litigate. However, you know, just to write that as a basic point, and that is that the Chadash is going to be Asar. So when does Chadash become Mutter? With the offering of the Karban Omer. When is the Karban Omer offered? Like we said, on the second day of Pesach, right? On the 16th day of Nisan. When on the 16th day of Nisan? So they would take care of it as soon as possible, right? The Kohanim is reason, and they would do so, right, basically, the first opportunity. So sometime in the morning, it's going to be taken care of. The Karban Omer is going to be offered. Okay, now, that's good when there's a Beis HaMikdash. When there is no Beis HaMikdash, so the Gemara has a drasha that it is Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. So without a Beis HaMikdash, so just simply the day itself serves as a matir. Meaning that when the sun rises on the 16th day of Nisan, that will serve as a matir. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says that I'm now instituting a gzera that one is not allowed to eat any of the new grains until the whole day has passed. Okay. So the Gemara now discusses. So, my taima. Okay, good. So the Gemara has a really simple question. What's behind that gzera? So, Meheri, Yibana Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara goes on to explain, because look, the next Beis HaMikdash can be built any day. Today. And ishtake mi'lo achalnu beha'ir ha'mizrach. And so we all creatures of habits. So it's going to be hard for us to transition from a world without a Beis HaMikdash, which unfortunately we've now had for the last 2,000 years. And then, right, the Beis HaMikdash is built today. And now what? Now we're going to get to the next Omer. Now, unfortunately for us, we're not habituated to... It's unfortunate, but it's true. We've lost our sensitivity to the heter of the new grains versus the iser of the new grains. We've lost it. We've lost our sensitivity. But let's just imagine that we had that sensitivity. So here we are now, and our habit's going to be that already the morning of the 16th, we're going to eat new grains. Now, if anyone's wondering, by the way, it's Pesach, isn't it Chametz? The answer, of course, No, it's not chametz. Grains are not chametz. When you let the grain sit in water and you let it ferment, this, then it's going to be chametz. But the grains themselves are not chametz. And all right, you bake matzah on the on the morning of the 16th. I know nobody does. But anyway, so so our habit is that already in the morning of, so everyone already is eating chadash because that was our habit. Now, achshav nami nechol. And so what's going to happen now in the first year of the Beis HaMikdash is that we're all going to be creatures of habits and we're all going to eat in the morning. And meanwhile, you can't eat in the morning. Why? Because when there's the Beis HaMikdash, what's the matir? The matir is the actual bringing of the Karban Omer. V'lo yadeh, and people don't know. D'ishtakeid lo hava omer. I'm sorry, v'lo yadeh, d'ishtakeid. In the previous year, lo hava omer heir mizrach, hiter hashadika omer, omer matir. So we'll think that, look, the sun rising is what's the matir? No, when there's a Beis HaMikdash, it's not the sun rising which is the matir, it's the actual bringing of the Karban Omer. So the Gemara says, okay, can we just go a little bit further, investigate this idea a little bit further? The Mivni Amos. When exactly was the Beis HaMikdash being built? Elamadev Nebishitzar, maybe it's being built on the 16th day. Now I know that's Chol HaMoed, but just wait 1 second. So Harei Heira Mizrach. Hitir. The Gemara says, okay, but if it's being built on the 16th, and I know it's nearly impossible to imagine the entire Beis HaMikdash being built in one day, but just for the purposes of just saying over the Gemara, okay, so let's say it was built on the 16th, but if in the morning of the 16th it wasn't built, so you had the matir. So Eladi Ivni Bechamesar, Mechatzos Hayom Alahalan, Lishtari. So the Gemara says, okay, so it was built on the 15th. Now I know the Gemara just suggested that the Beis HaMikdash is built on the 15th. Hold that thought. I'm going to come back to it. But the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? Even if that's true, I don't understand. If the whole concern of is us being creatures of habit, fine. So you don't want us to be eating the chadash early in the morning. Let's at least eat the chadash by midday. Why? Da'atana, because it's a Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, it's arachokim mutar mechatzos yom alahan lefi she'in based in mitzatzim bo. Because even when there was a Beis HaMikdash, so again, when there's a Beis HaMikdash, what's matir the grains, the bringing of the Karban Omer? When will the Kohanim be offering the Karban Omer? Latest it'll be is by midday. Latest. In other words, they're going to take care of it in the morning. So even if you're living far away from the Beis HaMikdash, you're allowed to eat the grains already by midday. Okay, so I don't understand, says the Gemara. Why would Rav Yochanan Zakkai make a takana and say that we're not allowed to eat the grains until the end of the 16th day, even if the whole concern is that the Beis HaMikdash will be built? Okay, so make it midday. So the Gemara says, fine. Lo nitzrucha de'ivne b'chameser samach l'shkeas achame inami de'ivne b'layla. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I'll tell you this, though. What if the Beis HaMikdash was built, oh, I don't know, let's say late on the 15th of Nisan, or sometime overnight on the 16th? There is no way that the Omer could be offered in the morning. Why? As Rashi points out over here, because there's a lot to do. You got to harvest the grains. You got to dry the grains. You got to roast the grains. There's just a lot going on over here. There's no way it's going to be done in the morning. So under that circumstance, albeit it's unusual, but under those circumstances, so that's why Rav Yochanan Zakkai made a gzera, you're not allowed to eat grains for the remainder of the day, of the entire day of the 16th. Fine. There is an unbelievably exciting an interesting Rashi over here, because the Gemara just proposed that the Beis HaMikdash would in fact be built on the 15th day of Nisan. Okay, the 15th day of Nisan, of course, is Yontif. The Gemara in Shavuot says that you're not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash, not on Shabbos and not on Yontif. The building of the Beis HaMikdash, mitzvah of the Torah, right? Despite the fact that it's a mitzvah, it does not override Shabbos, it does not override Yontif. That's the Gemara in Shavuos. How is our Gemara suggesting, it did, that maybe the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built on Yontif? So Rashi writes over here, Tosfos writes the same thing as well. Tosfos not here, Tosfos is in Sukkah. But Rashi writes over here, V'im Tomar, last two lines of the Rashi. Heich mishkach ala divni b'chamisa b'yomtov v'divni b'layla haikam lam b'masech ha-shavuos ein b'nyam Beis HaMikdash lo b'yomtov v'lo b'layla. And oh, by the way, our Gemara suggested it's also going to be built at night, and the Gemara Shavuot says that it's not built at night. So the Gemara says, "Hani mila binyan bide adam, ava binyan ha'asid lavo bide shamayim ho." So Rashi says that that next Beis HaMikdash is coming straight from heaven. So if you've heard such an idea, So you'll not know it's Rashi in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Lamed. So he writes that that's in fact the case. Whoever was responsible for composing Nachem on Tisha B'Av, so we have as part of our Nusach HaTfilah, so we include Nachem in part of our Nusach HaTfilah, and so whoever composes it, I don't know who gets credit for it, but sounds a lot like Rashi. He writes over here, I'm reading the Nusach of Nachem. So, Ki Ata Hashem Ba'esh Yitzata, so the Beis HaMikdash was burnt in fire, Uva'esh Ata Asid Livnosa, and it's going to be built Ba'esh. Kamor Vaniya Yalachani, and quotes a pasuk in Zechariah. Okay, now, you don't have to read the Nusach the way I just read it, but it certainly sounds like whoever put it together is following within the Shita of Rashi. Who is not on board with the Shita of Rashi? You want to guess correctly? So the Rambam. The Rambam is not on board with this idea. The Rambam says that the third base of Mikdash is going to be built by us. It's not dropping down from Shemayim. Okay. How does the Rambam read our Gemara over here? Okay, good. That's well beyond the scope of our daf. Okay, so the question on the table is: Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana gzera. One is not allowed to eat charis the entire day of the 16th after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Why? So because of the concern that the Beis Hamikdash will drop down from heaven sometime overnight on the 16th, and the Beis Hamikdash, who normally has their act all together, will understandably not get their act together until late in the day. And so for this concern, now, I don't need to emphasize, this is an unbelievably remote possibility, but because of this concern, that's why Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made a takana. And again, by the way, if I could just say a simple pshat in the Gemara, it is a remote concern, but Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai just wants people to be aware that we are lacking the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, as much as the concern over here is so remote, but again, it's just that sense, that pasuk from Yirmiyahu, that we need to have this on our minds, and even though the concern is so remote, but we're so looking forward to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, that we'll even entertain this remote concern. Okay, that is all but one approach. The Gemara now is going to give a second approach. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, Rav Yochanan Zakkai, Bishitas Rav Yehuda Amra. Rav Yochanan Zakkai is following the Shita of Rav Yehuda, meaning the Amar Adetzam Yamazah. So here we go back to Parshas Amor. The Torah says that you are not to eat your new grains ad etzem hayom hazeh, ad itzimu shel yom. So that means until the essence of that day. Now, normally what that means is when the day begins. That's not Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. V'kasav ad v'ad bechlal. When it says ad etzem hayom hazeh, means up to and including, right? A machlokas rachas, when we say up to, does it mean up to but that's the limit, or does it mean up to and including the limit? Good, it's a basic machlokas. Rav Yehuda is of the position, ad v'ad bichlal. So that means to say that it is a din d'oraisa, that in the absence of a Beis HaMikdash, in the absence of a Karban Omer, so min ha-Torah, you're not allowed to eat the new grains until the end of the 16th day. So which the Gemara says, umisar v'lei kavase v'ham mithlek palik ala denan. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Don't we have the following Mishnah, v'shachar Beis HaMikdash, hitkin Rav Yochanan Zakkai, she'yamanev kolo asar. So from the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rav Yochanan Zakkai instituted. Now, institution means what? Meaning that me'ikar adin, you're allowed to eat it, but he instituted. And I'm Rav Yehuda v'alomin ha-Torah hu aser d'chsev ad etzem hayom hazeh. And Rav Yehuda responds. Rav Yehuda says, I don't understand. What do you mean you're instituting? It's a din d'oraisa. So hasam Rav Yehuda d'katai. So the Gemara goes on to explain, no, Rav Yehuda really misunderstood Rav Yochanan Zakkai. So who's Iu Savar Rav Yochanan Zakkai midrabanan kamar? He thought that Rav Yochanan Zakkai meant midrabanan, and for really good reason. Rav Yochanan Zakkai actually uses the words hitkin. He instituted Avalohi, but it was a misunderstanding. Midaraisa kamar. Now Rav Yochanan Zakkai says that this is a din daraisa. So the Gemara says vai itkin ketani. Okay, but just as an important detail, he did use the word hitkin. So the Gemara says, my hitkin darsh v'hitkin. So the Gemara says, yeah, hitkin over here means institution in the fact of education, meaning people didn't know this. And so therefore he popularized the idea that really min ha-Torah, one is not allowed to eat the new grains until the end of the 16th day, not the beginning of the 16th day. Okay, adkan. We're going to stop over here. We're going to pick it up tomorrow with the Mishnah. So let's just quickly recap our daf today. We continued our discussion yesterday about Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos coinciding. An allowance to blow shofar in Bizman Beis HaMikdash. You could do so in Yerushalayim and anywhere within proximity. Although at the end of the sugya, we did qualify what that means. Four different qualifications. Post Chorban Beis HaMikdash, so Rav Yochanan Zakkai instituted that if you're in Yavne, in the presence of the Sanhedrin, so you can go ahead and you can blow shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. Outside of Yerushalayim, outside of Yavne, so you can't blow shofar. Why? Gzeira de Rabba, that we learned yesterday. That Shema Yavirena Dal Amos Bereshis Rabbi may come and carry it, so therefore to preserve the sanctity of Shabbos, of the Chachamim were okir the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. Same thing is true regarding Dal Minim on Shabbos Sukkos, and the same thing is true with Megillah as well. Good, that goes back to yesterday's daf. Meanwhile, in today's daf, we discussed in detail this allowance of Rav Yochanan Zakkai to blow Shofar and Shabbos Rosh Hashanah and Yavne. So, A, is it limited to Yavne or anywhere else where there's a Sanhedrin? Various viewpoints of Tanaim on that issue. And then what took up a lot of our time today is a comment of Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that yes, you can blow shofar in Yavne, but that's only im based in. And we discussed at length today what exactly that means. What it means is that you have to be bifnei based in. You have to actually be in the presence of based in order to blow shofar. We had a similar discussion regarding Yovel, where Yom Kippur and Shabbos coincide with each other, and the allowance to blow shofar. And again, the question now becomes whether it's with Beis Din, when Beis Din convenes. Good, we had that part of the discussion as well. And then the next part of today's daf, we went over the Mishnah in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when you were outside of Yerushalayim on Sukkos, so your mitzvah to take Dal Minim is only on day number one, as per the pasuk in the Torah. In the Beis HaMikdash, there's a mitzvah to take Dal Minim all 7 days. After Churban Beis HaMikdash, another Takana Rav Yochanan Zakkai is that we take Dal Minim all 7 days, Zecher LaMikdash. Similarly, Rav Yochanan Zakkai made another Takana, and that is that after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, so we're not allowed to eat the new grains until the completion of the 16th day. And a lengthy discussion, not lengthy, but somewhat lengthy discussion in the Gemara in terms of why. There are two possibilities. One is that Meheri Yabana Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash will be built. We're all creatures of habit. We're all going to be eating our grains the way we've done in the years past, meaning that we're going to eat the new grains in the morning because the Torah is matir in the morning, not being sensitive to the fact that once there's a Beis HaMikdash, we really have to wait until the bringing of the Karban Omer. Then the question was, if that's true, then why not just simply make the Gzeirah till midday? So the Gemara says, because there is a possibility, remote as it may be, the Beis HaMikdash will be built sometime overnight on the eve of the 16th, and then the Kohanim are just simply not going to have their act together to bring the Karban Omer until the end of the day. Okay. And then how is the Beis HaMikdash going to be built on Yontif, at nighttime? So Rashi over here, an exciting Rashi. In today's daf, Rashi says that the next Beis HaMikdash is going to drop Min HaShemayim. The other possible way to understand Rav Yochanan Zakkai is that he said the word Takana, but he didn't mean Takana. What he meant is that it's a drashi. He holds like Rav Yehuda. I said the word Takana. Takana in this context just simply means that he educated the masses.